Well, today is Epiphany. Epiphany, you see, the end of Christmas. Merry 12th day of Christmas, by the way. It's the end of Christmas and the beginning of a new season in the church. It's a new season we celebrate, moving out of Advent, out of Christmas, and now into the season of Epiphany. Epiphany has a very long tradition that many people don't know about. Throughout much of the world, I, as your pastor, would come and visit each of your homes this week, writing symbols above your doorways using chalk, and then I would come in and bless your home. Each of the little symbols is a symbol for each of the different wise men and their traditional, non-biblical names, and then a word of blessing in Greek around with all this chalk, and it's sort of crazy and sort of fun. In a way, this tradition is a way of reenacting the arrival of the Magi. Okay, or wise men, or three kings. There's lots of ways to refer to these folks. I'll call them Magi for our purposes today, just so you don't get lost. Okay, so this is this reenactment of the Magi and how they, in a way, blessed the home of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, right? They showed up and probably didn't use chalk, but they were there to offer blessing. But I will say there's more to Epiphany than graffiti-based visits by your pastor. In countries around the world, there are parties being thrown. Much more fun than the chalk thing. And it's from these traditions, these amazing Epiphany parties going on all over the world, that I was actually inspired to invite Chef Mark to be with us today at this celebration of ministry following worship. Flaming desserts are an old tradition of Epiphany. The fire of, in our case, the Bananas Foster, is going to remind us of the glow of the star that the Magi followed. Okay, it's a loose connection, but it's going to taste good. But you see, these parties, they're a big deal. People gather together and they celebrate and they continue the opening of the Christmas gifts throughout those 12 days. Some countries even have a very ritualized and ceremonial celebration, putting their nativity sets away, knowing that they'll see them again, but this is the day that they're put away. I had lots of folks ask, so when are we going to take that down before that? No, we got to leave it until today. Because today we still celebrate. In fact, one of my favorite parts of these party traditions is that it's one tradition that the handwritten invitation people receive to these parties opens with the phrase, "You didn't think Christmas was over, did you?" And then you open it. It's an invitation to this Epiphany party. I love that because Christmas isn't over until today. Okay, this is where it gets weird, right? Because we're inviting you to remember that Christmas isn't over just as it's ending. Well, I guess we better enjoy it while it lasts. That or we should find a way for it not to end. Yeah, maybe we should do that. You know, we should throw an after party for Christmas. Now that's an idea. The season of Epiphany as an after party for Christmas. I know a little bit about after parties. As a religious studies student who wanted to be a minister, who had a Jesus collection in my dorm room and spent my free time working at a campus ministry and singing in a men's chorus, I got invited to a lot of parties in college. No, seriously, I got invited to every single party that was hosted in the city of Boulder. You see, I'm a designated driver at every single party I go to. And so everyone's like, dude, you should come with us. We don't even know you, but we hear you don't drink. I got to look after a lot of people following parties, and you know, there's that after party, the party after the party, where a group of dedicated partiers dedicate themselves to keeping the good thing going. You guys ready to go home? No, we're just moving the party to so-and-so's. Okay. I mean, why deal with planning and starting your own party when you can just hop onto the bandwagon of a party that's already going on? Yeah. You see, that's what this day is all about. That's really what Epiphany is celebrating. Today we celebrate keeping a good thing going. God got a really good thing started, and now we get to keep it going. We spent all of Advent preparing for that gift of Christmas. We've celebrated the gift of God's hope and peace and love and joy that were given to us in that manger. Why would we let it end so quickly? You didn't think Christmas was over, did you? It's time to do something about that, just like the Magi did. Hear their story from the Gospel of Matthew. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered together all of the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where this Christ was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means are least among the rulers, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd the people of Israel." Hearing this, Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when that star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too can go and honor him." Yeah, that's it. When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered into the house and saw the child Mary with his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But then they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. So they went back to their own country by a different route. That last line is one of the most interesting parts of the story of the Magi. I'll admit my little interlude wasn't scriptural, but come on. We know why Herod wanted them to come back and tell me where the kid was. So there's a guy that's supposed to be more in charge than I am. He's still vulnerable? Tell me where he is. Herod didn't have the greatest of intentions. So the angel visits, and the Magi don't go back. They go back by a different route. I think there's a lot of meaning in that little line. Meaning that will help us do more with Christmas. I want you to think about this with me. Here we have a group of people who are seeking something in their lives. They have a sense that there's something out there. They don't have specific answers. And to be honest, the best they have to go on is old scriptures. But they put themselves out there. They ask questions. They keep investigating. They don't give up. Despite their wandering and their doubts, and even their poor timing, and they're a little late to the shindig, nothing can separate them from what God is doing. And when they recognize that star, they follow. And it leads them on this journey. And they get there. And then, when we encounter the gift of Christmas, we barely recognize it. Oh, wait. Did I say we? I'm sorry. I meant they. They didn't recognize. Because so often, what God is doing is hard to see in the moment, especially because of our own expectations. Wait, did I say our? I meant their. Their expectations. I love this story, because it's one I think we are so intentionally supposed to identify with. We are the people in this story. I mean, the Bible's laying it on pretty thick, right? Those who are searching, wandering, looking, who have questions, who have doubts, who are going through life trying to find something more. I wonder who they could be talking about. But consider the humanness of these Magi. In addition to all those things I've mentioned, these are people who didn't do anything to deserve what God is giving them. They couldn't even get there on their own. And yet, for some reason, God wants them to come face to face with all that Christmas is about. Their humanness even shows up in their gift giving. When they show up, the gifts they give are more about who they want Jesus to be than who Jesus is. Pretty human, isn't it? I mean, come on, you give the baby gold and frankincense and myrrh? No pressure, little baby Jesus, but we think you should become a royal leader, anointed by fine spices, surrounded by fancy things. This is total classic human gift giving. I got you this because I want you to have it. It's like when someone gives you running shoes for Christmas and you're like, "Oh, so you think I should start running? Okay." Folks have been doing this to Jesus as long as Jesus could remember. The first gifts he received are people's expectations. The story is us. These Magi are well-meaning people who are searching for something they don't even understand. We've shown up at the manger once again. Okay, it's really Mary and Joseph's house 2 years later, but work with me here. We've shown up to receive and celebrate this gift of Christmas. So what are we supposed to do now? Were we supposed to bring something? If this is so wonderful, how do we keep it going? Is there some kind of Christmas after party? Where's it going to be? Well, that's really the question. Where do we go from here? And what I can tell you is this. We're not going back the way we came. That little line is an instruction to all of us. Let's not return the way we came. Because things are different now. Everything is different now. But we're human. So we have to resist the temptation to go back to what we know. To go back to the way it was. Returning the way we came. I tell you, if we don't do that, if we don't go some new way, we're not going to be able to give Jesus his gift. Because, oh yeah, we do need to give the little guy a gift. I mean, who shows up to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior empty-handed? So, damn, do you have gum or something in your purse? I mean, we need something. I tell you, one danger of the historical reading of the Magi story is thinking that this story is all about what we bring with us. The wise men brought gifts too, so we bring gifts. In fact, we've sung those words throughout Advent. What can I bring him? But what if it isn't about what we bring at all? What if it's about what we take with us, that is. Epiphany is a turning point in the Christmas story. The light of the world has appeared in a manger in Bethlehem. I mean, think about this Christmas story. The light of the world shows up and it's surrounded by Mary and Joseph, a couple of livestock, some shepherds who disappear, and now these magi. And now us. The light we celebrated Christmas Eve cannot stay in that manger. It needs to be shared with the world. If we leave empty-handed, if we go back the way we came, back to the way things were before, then Christmas is over. The Epiphany story is one that's meant to remind us that we need to bring ourselves and take the light of the world with us. That's the gift we give Jesus. That we will take that light with us into our lives and into the world. That's how we keep the party going. That's what makes this the Christmas after party of Epiphany. In fact, that's why we're keeping the Christ candle out for a while. We took off those Advent candles of waiting. But we're going to have this Christ candle with us for a while. Reminding us of that light so it doesn't disappear. It's here to remind us that there is light to be shared. Because the gift of Christmas, the light of the world, doesn't go out. It goes out, out there, out with us, out into the world. We get to share it because it has been placed in our hearts and our lives. And we get to keep this good thing going. You didn't think Christmas was over, did you? Amen.